Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Stonewall to marriage equality, 50 years of pride. I'm Sweetina Kakar, and here with me are Chris and his 17-year-old transgender son, Matt, to tell me their story. Hey, Chris and Matt, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
So before we get started with Chris and how you found out, Matt, let's go back to where it began. Let's go back to when you knew and what you were going through.
Well, I knew when I was, like, really young. I just didn't know how to express it completely. Mm-hmm. Like, I was probably, like, 5 or 6 when I started kind of, like, acting like there was something, like, off. Like, I wasn't kind of, like, I didn't like the mold of femininity, so I completely went to the other side. And it was, like, a long time of just acting like that, but, like, I didn't, like, know how to label it. Mm-hmm. But in, like, 6th grade, I think, I, like, came out to friends.
Yeah.
And then in, like, 7th grade, I told my parents.
How was that like, coming out to your friends? Were you scared? I mean...
I wasn't scared, because, like, the thing is with me, I know. Uh-huh. Like, and I won't let anyone else, like, say, like, otherwise. Like, I know, and I know. Like, no one can, like, tell me differently. So if they were like, oh, that's weird, I'd be like, well, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
That's a great mentality to have. But were you at all nervous about anybody caring or bullying you for any reason?
Well, people already did that beforehand.
Oh, no.
So I was kind of like... whatever. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was kind of like it intensified, but I was already so used to it, so it's kind of like whatever. And the friends I had, I was only stuck with like one of them afterwards, because like most of the real people I knew were kind of like, oh, that's weird, get out of our group.
Oh, no.
So, like, I only sat with one person at lunch. But like, people online were more accepting.
How did you feel when your friend groups excluded you?
I don't know. It was more of like over the time process.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was more and more that they were kind of like, you know. So I was kind of like, okay, that's great. And then I got tired of it, so I just sat somewhere else.
I mean, I was bullied as a kid, and I still kind of just swallowed it and stayed with my friends, only because you don't know what else to do when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so that must have been, like, you must have had a real tough mentality to be like, you know what, whatever, I'm going to go sit somewhere else.
Yeah. People were always kind of, like, offstandish, and they could tell when you were, like, they would tell you if they didn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would know, especially when you're younger. So I was just kind of like, well, I'm not going to talk to people that don't like me.
Right.
So I was kind of like, okay, I'll go do my own thing then. And then whenever I didn't have anyone to sit with, I tried sitting with other people. And whoever took me, I sat with. So.
Dad, did you know that? He sat alone often or with whoever?
Not at first, no. Mm-hmm. He was forthright with us, and he was honest with us, and he told us that he was getting bullied. And we would just be like, well, go sit with these people. And then it turned out that those people were bullying him worse than the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we found out, and he came out to us and just, like, laid it all out on the table for us and told us what was going on. So at that point, which was a couple of years into him, having realizing who he was before we actually knew for sure.
What was those couple of years like before you told your parents?
a lot of it was kind of like, it was like I would take on like masculine personalities, uh-huh. and like kind of like, you know how kids play house,
uh-huh.
I would always do it with like a male personality, and on the internet, like playing games and stuff, it would always be male. And like when I would, I don't know, I'd just play games with my friends, and I would try to like, it was just kind of always going in that direction. And then when I finally got my phone, I was kind of like more on the internet, and I would look stuff up and like stuff like that. So on the internet, I was able to like kind of completely take that on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wanted to take it to the next step, I was like, okay, let's do it, I guess.
What were your hesitations before you, why did it take 2 years for you to tell your parents?
I didn't really, like, I mean, when it happened, it wasn't, like, me doing it. Like, they kept asking me, like, this kind of stuff, and I was like, well, yeah, I guess, yeah. Stuff like that, I was just answering. Because, like, I never really, like, outwardly would, like, say something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, kind of, like, forced me to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was kind of like, it just happened. So I was like, whatever.
So you guys forced it out of him?
I don't remember it quite that way.
Okay. We were sitting in therapy.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And you guys kept asking.
We thought there was something up.
Is this how this is? Is this what you want to do? And then mom was like, so you want to be a boy and date boys? I was like, sure. And then that was that.
Yeah.
That's how it happened.
So you did force it.
I guess, but from my standpoint, mm-hmm. I can't really speak for my wife, but from my standpoint, I didn't know what transgender was at that point. Right. I didn't have the slightest clue. So I didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was going on. So the reason we were in therapy is because we had always been in therapy. Our other son is on the autism spectrum. And when we realized that when we were younger, we had decided to stay in family therapy just to keep ourselves accountable and make mm-hmm. sure we're on the right track and just doing things. So this therapist knew us well.
Right.
And we knew that there was issues going on with the bullying. And that's why we had, you know, Matt start going to private sessions with the therapist. Mm-hmm. And then finally we had a family therapist session, right. And that's where it all came out. And this therapist was awesome to us. Her name is Sherry. And at the moment that Matt came out to us, she literally, you know, was crying, and she looks up at the bookshelf and she goes, I had a feeling something like this was going on. And she pulls out this book, Transgender 101. And she said that she had bought this book a couple of years ago, thinking that this might be what was going on. And she had studied up on what transgender was to help us. So,
how did you feel when, you know, when you found out, that bombshell moment? Were you scared, nervous, upset? What was the feelings?
I don't know if I could put one word on it.
Right.
It was more of somewhat of a relief, knowing mm. that there, our son was able to unload to us, mm-hmm. was able to tell us what was going on, was able to bring us in a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of, okay, great. We accepted it right away. But then, you know, afterwards, I remember going, what's going on? What is this? What do we have to do? What do we need to do? What's happening? You know, because we didn't know anything about it at that particular moment, but now we do.
Yeah. How has his coming out changed your life?
Mm. For me personally, it was just, I believe it brought our family closer. It made our family tighter. It started me particularly on a path that I never could have predicted for myself,
mm-hmm.
To the point now where I'm, you know, in charge of a chapter of PFLAG,
mm-hmm.
and that to me is due to Matt, and I owe him that, and on top of it, it was like a, I mean, I had a heart attack a few years later. And all these things I look at as like major milestones that have brought me into this clarity that I never realized was available.
So it kind of was a little bit of a blessing?
I would say very much so.
Blessing. So Matt, when that therapy session was happening, did you feel like your parents would be in full support, or for a second were you afraid at all that they might not support you?
I was annoyed because they always ask a lot of questions. So, like, I was sitting there and it was just question after question after question. I was like, ugh. So I was just kind of like in that kind of mode. I was kind of like, this is really annoying. I want this to be over. So I was kind of like, okay.
So were you relieved?
So like the whole time I was just kind of like annoyed. So I didn't have any time to focus on any other emotion. But like afterwards, I was kind of like, whoa, that was wild.
How old were you when that happened?
11.
11?
It was the summer before seventh grade.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty young. Mm-hmm. I could see, you know, a preteen being annoyed with parents asking a billion questions.
I still
it hasn't changed. It hasn't
changed. So you're basically just trying to get them to stop asking questions.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, that's it. That's okay, it. Can we go?
But did you know that was it, or were you just saying, yeah, can we go?
No, he knew.
Yeah.
Have you wanted to tell them before? Were there times that you wanted to tell them and just so you could transition, but didn't?
Well, I kind of like, when I was younger, I was very adamant on saying that I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it wasn't like I wanted to tell. I was just like, this is me, so this is what I'm going to say this. Like, it wasn't like a whole thought process that just came out because that's how I felt. So, like, I felt like there was a lot of times when I was younger where I said it, and it was just kind of like, it was always there, so I didn't have any, like, bad feelings about it or anything like that.
So there wasn't a time where you were like, okay, I'm going to tell them now, or I'm going to tell them, hey, I want to transition now?
No, just kind of like came, all of those times that I said it was just kind of proclaiming it further, and it was kind of like, I felt like they had to know somehow, but like, when it finally, like, I didn't have a planned time where I was gonna like be like, yo, this is what's up. Like, I didn't have a time plan for that. It was just like,
now, was it the same time that you also came out to be gay, or was it just, was that before?
Well, I've kind of had a different kind of experience with that. A year before I knew I was trans, like, when I could finally, like, actually say it, I was kind of like, maybe I'm bi. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was kind of, like, with that first, but I didn't tell anyone. That was never something I kind of, like, told outwardly.
Right.
I was just kind of like, this is this. I don't really care. Whatever. Because that's not something that would change my life as much as, like, trans is. Because, like, coming out as trans is important, because if I don't, then I can't do anything.
Right. But what do you mean by that?
I can't transition if I don't come out as trans. Mm-hmm. But just labeling myself as a sexuality is something for me. It's not for anyone else. So I don't really feel a need to outwardly tell people. But except if it's someone I, like, am really close to, or if I'm going to date them, I'm going to be like, yeah, this is this. But I kind of, for a while, I had a hard time identifying as bi again. So I just said I was gay because I didn't want to associate with anything feminine.
Okay.
That was kind of like, I have anxiety, so like having those thoughts really like kept banging at my head. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna disassociate from femininity as far as I can. But I got a lot better with that. Mm-hmm. So now I can actually identify as bi without feeling bad about myself. So
right. And so he said that he called himself a boy all the time.
It was not that obvious to us. We knew that when he played games, when he was online, he would always take the male characters.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that,
yeah.
But we didn't understand why. We didn't have a real clue. So that's why we probably asked him a lot of questions that he was getting annoyed with us at.
Yeah,
we didn't really understand. We didn't know what transgender was.
When I was younger, my brother would always be like, so-and-so is going as this name online, is saying they're a boy and all that stuff. And I was like, shut up. Stop saying that. But, like, he just... If there was someone who, like, accepted me first without, like, me knowing, it was probably my brother.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, he was always just kind of like, okay, like, whatever. So, like, he was just kind of like...
Seriously, it's exactly what he did, too, when we...
He was better at pronouns than they were.
The therapy session where he told us, mm-hmm. we literally sat Tristan down to tell him, and Tristan was like, yes, so. He was just, and?
Yeah, he was a lot better at it than they were.
And you said that that your brother was better at pronouns than they were. Were you guys having a tough time calling him he?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
For a long time. I struggled for a really long time. It wasn't that I didn't want to. It's just that I didn't... It was hard to just actually do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I tried. And every now and then, even still to today, I can slip up.
Like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, so, and he's going to know the time, the place, and everything, and I feel horrible about that. But it's not like it's a conscious thing. It just kind of happens. But what I've realized is that when it does, is that I apologize right away because I know it stings, and I want to acknowledge it and be able to take ownership of that and move on, you know.
So when your dad does make that mistake, how do you feel, or when he does apologize?
Well, whenever anybody does it, now that I've been on T for a while, I feel kind of aggressive about it.
Okay.
So, like, anybody does it, and I kind of want to turn around and hit them.
Okay.
So, like, this one woman in the store was like, yo, sorry, ma'am, I hit you. And I was about to, like, turn around and punch her in the face, but I didn't. It's fine. I didn't do it. But there are just a lot of times where I'm kind of like, well, that's nice. And I don't want to address it because of, like, the pain. So, like, I just kind of, like, try to shrug it off and keep going.
So knowing that your dad feels really bad when he does slip up, what would you say to him?
Yeah, it does hurt my feelings, but I don't know. I don't like doing it, saying it up front.
I think I'm aware enough of what it does to him that's why I take ownership of it. But, I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back, but it's been a few years before, just like that month ago. And when I said it, it shocked me, I think, as much as him,
Yeah. In the beginning, it must have been hard, though, just to even...
It was just trying to get used to it and wrapping our heads around it. And it's a process.
Yeah.
And most parents that we talk to, they have the same process. It's...
Did it take you a while to start saying your son and not your daughter?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's
a good step.
No, it's for me, it was, and he can tell you, I went through a process that basically is equated to mourning. I was the last one in the family. I had pictures, like baby pictures, still next to my bed, and I was just like, I kept them up for 3 years. I was just like, I didn't want to let them go.
Mm.
It was hard to let them go. And now when I look at it, it's not that I was letting the pictures physically go. It was the process I was going through. Even though it was like outwardly I was being very accepting, it was mentally, it was just like there was a change because I now realize that society has placed a whole bunch of subconscious expectations within us that every parent, whether they lie to you or not, we all put expectations on our kids from the second they're born. When they come out and you look at them, you automatically have their entire life planned out almost mm-hmm. in your head of what's going to go on. And it was letting that go. It was trying to realize all those layers that society piles on top of you. How do you peel them away, and how do you make that better for your kid?
And how did you do that?
What eventually led me to PFLAG? It was going through support groups.
Okay.
We went through therapists and different support groups that you meet a community of people and you hear everyone's story, and everyone's story is very unique. And it's not just an unloading, it's more of an unpacking, because it's you're understanding all these things that are going on and you're trying to do the best for your kid, but you're also realizing that there's so much you have no idea about.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that you're doing, saying, or not doing or not saying that's affecting your child? And how can you figure that out? So it's just a lot of reading, a lot of trying to understand, a lot of trying to find those pathways to broaden my knowledge. I remember, for me, the most profound one was going to pick out a Halloween costume,
mm-hmm.
Second grade. And I
wanted to be a zombie, and they wouldn't let me be a zombie because that was too masculine.
Yeah, you kept going over to the boys' section. And I was doing that. I was like, well, no, this is your section. Why can't you see something
like
here?
Princess.
And we did. We wound up compromising. And at first, I remember coming back to my wife and going, I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, why is going to get a costume such a problem? And
mm-hmm.
it wasn't him. It was me.
Right.
And it was all these expectations that, you know, I was looking at for what I thought should be going on. And that's one thing that I've certainly grown to understand, is that kids are a gift.
Yeah.
And they're not yours. They're their own person, and you have to understand that no matter how young they are. You can guide them, you can help obviously raise them, but you are not there to tell them what they like and don't like.
And let me just note that whole situation,
mm-hmm.
I ended up being like a morph of like the devil or something.
It was Little Red Riding Wolf.
Yeah, something like that. And I had devil horns and like mm-hmm. something like that.
Well, that's still a cool costume.
It was a really cool costume.
That was in like first grade.
That's, yes. I mean, it was still
so that was like
kind of cool.
Very early.
Now when you look at yourself, especially on T, how do you feel?
A lot better.
Yeah.
So much better. It's like, always didn't like how I was like scrawnier, didn't have like that certain face shape, or
mm-hmm.
like definitely my voice, because it was really high. It was very high looking back on it. There's so many good things that came with T, and I like worked really hard to get here, and it's just kind of like very like, I'm very like grateful to have this change, because I'm a lot more comfortable with myself.
If I was to say how I felt watching him through this process, when he first came out to us and we started the process of helping him with blockers and then getting the tea, the most profound thing for my wife and I mm-hmm. Was that we didn't realize our kid wasn't happy. And that floored me. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was really hard, because I always thought my kid was happy. And afterwards, when you see, after he came out and he's getting the blockers, and you see that happiness,
mm-hmm.
you realize that you didn't know.
So how was transitioning at school?
I didn't really like, I didn't come out completely to the school. I mm-hmm. said it to a few people, and then it like spread out. Because I was the first trans kid in my middle school to come out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was obviously like a huge thing, but I was already like that kind of like tomboy that like always hung out with all the guys, and it was kind of like obvious. So like they were obviously like, they held on to that, told everyone, it kind of got around really fast. So like before I could even tell, like, half of the people that I knew, the whole school already knew. So, like, I was just kind of like, he just did the job for me. I don't care how you react. It's just that you know. It's like, I don't have to do it.
So, do you feel like you continue to come out to people, or do you not, anymore?
It's very important that you keep coming out to people because there's a lot of stuff. Like, you, if you pass as cis, you still have to tell people. It's like people that you're going to start dating or people that you're really close friends with. It's important that they know.
Right.
Because that's, like, a big part of you. Plus, people, they're allowed to have preferences. Right. So, like, if there's a thing they should know, then they should know it. Mm-hmm. So you always have to tell people. And in my experience, telling people, even when they don't, like, have to know, it's a lot more refreshing because you can tell whether or not they're going to be good friends.
Chris, do you continue to come out for your son?
What I found is something that my wife and I went through, as well as other people that we help support through PFLAG. The parents do come out just as the kid does. Yeah. Maybe not in the same way, but that's another societal thing that's thrown down on us. It's like, you know, you have to worry about people's reactions and how they're going to accept it or not accept it or whatever. And that's unfortunately something every parent has to go through in one way or another. And I don't mind, and neither does my wife. We're pretty proud of our kid.
And Matt, if you have advice for somebody that's going through what you went through, bullying, trying to figure out your sexuality, what would your advice be?
In the end, the only person that you have is yourself. Mm-hmm. No matter who leaves you or who goes or who comes, it's always going to be you. Mm-hmm. The person that you're going to have to spend 6 hours alone with in your room is yourself. And if you don't like that person, then you have to like that person. Right. So no matter what anyone else says, it doesn't matter because they're not going to be there all the time. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be there all the time is you. So you have to make sure that you like you. It doesn't matter what kind of obstacle it takes, just as long as you like you.
And what do you think it takes to be you?
Letting yourself explore and do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if it seems risky and even if it seems like you might not like it the day after, you won't know unless you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you go through this whole thing where you're like, maybe I am trans, and you end up not being trans, you wouldn't have known unless you did it. So the good thing is to go ahead and let yourself try it out. And if you stick with it, then that's amazing. And if you don't, that's amazing too. As long as you're figuring yourself out to make sure that you're happy with yourself, then that's what matters.
And advice about coming out, if someone is afraid to tell people, what would you tell them?
Well, with that, it's really, if those people don't accept you, then those people aren't meant to be in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Those people aren't meant to be friends or whatever. So, like, if you come out to someone and they don't like it, then screw them.
Yeah.
They don't deserve you. So you should do it anyway. And then find yourself some better friends. And they'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
You might not think they're going to be there, but there are people there.
And your family has been there?
Yeah.
And if there's something that you'd want to tell your dad?
After not being able to dress up as Spider-Man in kindergarten, I bought a Spider-Man suit last week.
You're awesome.
So I'm going to dress up as Spider-Man.
Take that, Dad.
That's awesome.
Take that, Dad. And Chris, if you had something to say to Matt, I'm sure you already have, but
I have, and I will reiterate it over and over and over again. I am always thrilled that Matt and Tristan, but Matt because he's here right now, came into our lives because you've made us and you've made me a stronger person, and your journey has opened up my life into a pathway that I never saw coming, and it's just been a ride and experience, and I'm thrilled to be on it.
Sweet.
Relive the history, hear the stories, and be inspired. From Stonewall to marriage equality, 50 years of pride at 1010winds.com/pride. I'm Sweetina Kakar.